How do we come to know Christ? And I want y'all, I don't want to preach to y'all. I want y'all to join in and ask questions and fight and everything else. No, not fight, but if you've got any questions or any input, you will help me out tremendously. Because like I said, I didn't have a sermon per se, but I do have a direction I want to head us into. But if I ask you a question, it's for you to answer it's for you to answer if you have an answer. Or if you want to add 2 cents, that's not, I do not have the all on everything. So, but how do we know if we've come to know Christ? Anybody got a input on that? There should be a bunch. I know there's a few Christians in here. And these aren't trick questions. Yeah, you raise your hands or yell it out, either way. Well, we can stop right there. What I'm going to speak on today is the Spirit. I've noticed if you watch TV, in a lot of churches today, we've come to know the churches have gone to a point to where I think we're trying to learn, or we're trying to work, or we're trying to do what the Spirit is supposed to be doing. And what I'm saying is, let me get my notes here. I hope that when we came to Christ, that we've had a conversation with the Spirit, because that is the only way we know we've come to Christ. We have to have heard from Him. A lot of people say, well, I've never heard, or I don't hear Him. Those are some of the most things when I've talked to people, that is couple of the most concerning statements that needs to be dealt with real quick. Needs to know why you haven't heard or if you haven't heard. Jesus said, and I'm going to quote some scriptures out that I've got the scriptures wrote down, but there's just some that I'm going to go over that I'm going to say. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Amen. And it doesn't stop there. It says, and follow me.
That's right.
So in order to do that, you have to know His voice. And I'm going to start with 5 things that the Spirit does, and I'm going to take these 5 things I think is everything. What I mean is, first one is the calling. The Spirit does the calling. I can go out here, how many of you have ever been talking to somebody and the Lord comes up and you can tell right away whether the conversation is actually something spiritual going on, or it's just, and you can witness, you can go knock on doors, you can do anything, but you have to have somebody that has been, the Spirit is drawing. If you look with me at John 6:41-44, and these glasses are going to bug y'all as much as they bug me. I'm not used to them, but I can't see through them like this, and I can't look at his down here.
Well, you wouldn't get them at the dollar store.
Hey, these were $15 from the eye doctor. I still don't like them. I don't need them out here. I just can't read with them, and so I'm looking like Grandpa Jones up here doing this. But I think I'm gonna have to do it. John 6:41-44. Everybody there? If you're not there, you can just listen. It's fine. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread from heaven. This is Jesus speaking. They said, the people said, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph. We know his father and his mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? So these were the people that Jesus was associating with, or that were surrounding him, listening to him talk. They knew who he was by his name. They just knew, well, this is Jesus that we've heard about, or Jesus that we've seen. But Jesus replied, don't complain about what I said, for people can't come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. He was explaining right there to people before he, of course, this is before he's died and been resurrected. So this is the way that you're going to come to know me. in the same aspect, turn to me to Matthew 16, 13 through 18. And y'all are probably more familiar with this passage. This is the passage where Jesus asked Peter who he is. Well, actually, he's asking the disciples that are around him who he is. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked all the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, and this is critical. This, and I'll explain it is, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will give you the keys of kingdom of heaven." This right here, when Jesus says, "Now I say to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church," Jesus is not saying, and this is what I thought for years, that okay, Peter was the founder of the church, or the Peter's going. I don't write this in stone, but I think this is where a lot of the Catholic Church thinks Peter is the head of the church. Jesus is not saying, "Okay, Peter, I'm going to make you the head of the church." Jesus is saying, upon this revelation, I'm going to read it to you again. "Now say that Peter, upon this rock," what rock? The foundation that you know who I am through Jesus, through God. God revealed this to you. That's how I'm going to build my church. Who belongs to the church? It's the people that's had a revelation from God, from the Spirit, that tells them who Jesus is. I could relate that to if somebody comes to me and they say, "Who do you think Jesus is?" Well, I say, "Well, Lois told me he was the Christ." Or, "I've been sitting in church for 20 years and I've heard that Jesus is the Christ." That is not going to do you a bit of good. I can tell you that we can read that verse. We can read what Jesus says. We can read who he says he was. But he says, until the Spirit has had that revelation, you will not know who I am. That's how my church is going to be done. That's what my church is going to be found on. That's the foundation. That's the rock. So who does the calling? Is it us? Do we find him? No. It's the Spirit. The Spirit leads us into that calling. Number two, and this is in the same vein, is the revelation. The Spirit revealed this to Peter. Not a Sunday school teacher. And I'm not knocking Sunday school teachers or churches or Mike Jolly or anybody. If Mike Jolly tells you something, that's good. But if it didn't come from the Lord, if you don't hear it from the Lord, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's not going to mean anything to you that I'm telling you this. You have to have had that revelation from the Lord. So that's the one thing, is the calling. The Spirit does. Number two, revelation. Who Christ is. How you realize that. The third thing that I want to go over is the changing. Who does the changing? Can we do it?
No.
Nope. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. And I've got little pieces of paper marked in my Bible, so it might take me time to get these. This is how this happens. You're not going to learn. Now, and this is going to be, I can learn from my brothers. My brothers can learn from me by example. But the way you learn is through the filter of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, if I see how good Charlie lives, I can see that in the natural. But if I don't have a revelation through the, you know, what Charlie is living right, who's telling me that? Who tells me that that is the way to go? Jesus is the way to go. That again is the Spirit saying, by filtering through the Spirit, I can learn from another brother. I can learn from, you're not learning. I don't do any good if I do what Charlie tells me to do. And like I said, if he on the service says, well, you need to give $3 every Sunday to the poor. If I do that because Charlie's told me that, nothing is gained. Even though it's a good thing. The way that $3 is going to mean anything is if the Spirit of God has led you to do that. He has to tell you. You have to listen to that voice. If y'all are in Ezekiel, everybody there? Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. And the good thing about these five things that I'm going to tell you is it takes all the work out of it for us. The Lord says, I'm going to back up to verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And this, he's describing the new covenant. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And here's the kicker. And I will, God said, I will give you a new heart. And right desires. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart of sin and give you a new obedient heart. There's nothing for us to do. We can't change our hearts. We can't learn how to do it. We can't, by repetition, we can't do the same tradition. We can't keep going. God Himself, supernaturally, by His Spirit, is going to change our hearts. In the same verses, the same vein, Colossians, read 27. Yep. I stopped it. 27. And I will, this is good. I'm thanks for. I had it underlined, but I stopped. And I will put my spirit in you so you will obey my laws and do whatever I command. God does that.
Amen.
Jesse.
What version are you reading?
I'm reading the New Living Translation. It's I love this translation. I usually use the NIV, and I don't want to get into who what's the best and everything.
NIV,
it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart the stone of the Lord, and I will put a new, my spirit in you and move you to Father. Yep. And where mine says, it says, I will put my spirit in you, and so you will obey my laws.
This makes it sound more like His Spirit. Moves us.
Exactly. His Spirit.
Wes, the New Living Translation is probably one of the best modern translations today. It kind of goes beyond what we used to call the Living Bible, and it's had scholars work on it. The Living Bible is the work of Tim Taylor. But if anybody wants a more modern, easy to understand translation. I think the New Living Translation is far superior to the Message, to Phillips, to a lot of other things.
I really like it.
It is good. Betty, is very good.
Y'all who know, been here for a while, Betty Poplin gave me this Bible. And she gave it to me, and I loved it because of the big print. But after I got to reading with it, and it is exactly right. It's the same people who came out with the Living Bible. But what they do is, from what I've read, is they've gone back to the original Hebrew and Greek, and instead of translating word by word, in other words, this word in Greek means this, this word, and going into, they went to by a phrase of actually what they were saying or what this whole passage meant and translated it that way. And so it's, you know, but, you know, like I really like it. It's good.
I think you defined it well. It is not, it is translated more or less phrase by phrase than word.
Right, yeah.
For word. NIV is translated more word for word,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of follows the King James except for the these and the thous and the mm-hmm. clarification.
Yep.
So the NIV has a lot of use, but I have found in looking at certain passages that the clearest presentation of it is often in the New Living Translation.
Yeah, I really do. I like it. The other verse I wanted to look at for is about the changing is Colossians 2:11. Colossians in the New Testament, right after Philippians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And like I said, I don't have a lot of scripture. I don't want to throw a lot at you out, but there, matter of fact, there's a bunch of these scriptures that I've written down that say the same thing. I'm trying to pick out the better ones. This is Paul writing to the brothers in Colossians. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. It was a spiritual procedure. The cutting away of your sinful nature. This is where the same thing where we just read in Ezekiel, I will put my spirit in you. I will give you a new heart. It's not a physical thing that we're going to learn. It's something that the supernatural has to have taken place. It's a spiritual procedure. I'm going to go on and read a little bit down below 13. It says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by this victory over them on the cross of Christ. It's not our doing.
Amen.
And you probably heard, you can't work your way in. There's nothing we can do to work our way in. We can't attend church. I've written a couple things down. I believe that we can't read our way in. We can't work our way in.
Amen.
We can't attend church on our way in.
Amen.
We can't learn, and we can't discipline ourselves.
Amen.
And what I'm saying is self-discipline, if you look in Galatians, is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. That's another thing that's done by the Spirit. There's verses, I won't go there right now, but there's one in, actually it's in the same chapter, it's at the end of the chapter. You have died with Christ and He has set you free from the evil powers of the world. So why do you keep following the rules of the world? And this is where he's talking about don't do this, don't taste, don't, in other words, the law and rules of the world, don't handle, don't touch, don't eat. Such rules are mere human teaching about things that are gone as soon as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, humility, severe bodily discipline. In other words, these are things that people, we're going to work up. I'm going to, discipline my body, require strong. But in the end, they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires. I can equate it to, I've thought about this analogy. It's like if you're trying to lose weight, for example, and you get on that treadmill or you run in laps every day or you're lifting, whatever you're doing because you eat too much. You can work the stuff off by discipline, trying to do. But what is making you eat too much? When you get off that treadmill, when you get off that track, the problem with the human effort is you still like food. I don't care how long you run on the treadmill. Let's flip that around to the sinful nature. I don't care how long you go to church. You know, we repeat it, how much you read the Bible. that is not going to get rid of the sin nature. That's done by the Spirit.
Amen.
He changes your desires. He can change you not to like food. He can change you not to like sin. That's His power. That's what He died for. That's what He was raised for, to conquer that. We can't do it. Man cannot do it. But we can let Him do it. The fourth thing is the working. I think this is Charlie's verse. So I'm going to let him read it. Philippians 2:13. Is that yours? Well, I'm going to let you read it. Charlie showed me this one a while back, and I like it. You're going to need that, I know.
I know. I don't talk loud when I'm angry, let alone when I'm just trying to be nice. Philippians 2:13, by the way. Okay. Let me find here. Let me pre this one verse, 12, because I knew 12 before 13 existed. I heard it a lot, you know, really. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, bless your hearts. There's a lot of people, fears and trembles and works hard. You know, I know they do. They have good intentions. And let me read 13 and let's see how much fear and trembling is required. Okay? Just listen to this. For, now that's not F-O-U-R, that's F-O-R. For, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Not you working out anything. You only going to do what's in you. As a matter of fact, you ever see, do anybody know anybody that's kind of messed up? If you people are so protected, you don't know anybody that's messed up, I can let you borrow a couple. You just need one? That'll keep you reminded. But you know what the old saying is about that? And old sayings is not bad because they've been around a long time. It's just in Him. Well, of course it is. See, if it wasn't in you, you wouldn't do it.
That's good preaching.
Well, I don't know. You're only going to be what you are. Because if you try to be what you're not, everybody's going to know you're faking it. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't want to look like somebody that's a fake, don't bother.
I'm going to read that verse in the New Living, same verse. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. It's God. It's God. Number four, the working. We got the calling, the revelation, the changing, the working. And number five, and this is the best part, I think, is the saving and the eternal life. Being Spirit-led leads to eternal life. If you follow your flesh, if you follow the old nature, what's the word say? Anybody know? Romans, if you follow your old nature, it leads to death. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're led to eternal life. Led by the Spirit, not led by me, not led by Pastor Jim. Not that we can't learn and not that he can't be an example of how that leading works. But we got to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit. John 6:63. It's just one this is the showing how it's not human effort. I've got a couple verses on, I think. John 6:63, and I found this last night. It is the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Anybody got that in the NIV?
Yeah,
John 6:63. You got it? Can you read it? Read it, King James. That's fine.
663. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
NIV says the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life.
Actually, in the book of John, 98 times it tells us to believe or the equivalent. So we are responsible. In the very first chapter of John, it says that God gives life to every person that comes into the world. And the reason many people are not dealt with by the Spirit of God is they have already rejected that life.
Yeah.
If we reject that life, then we can't expect God to go on dealing with us permanently. And I do believe that we are, like the song said this morning, we are desperate. And we are desperate as far as our addictions, as far as our habits and so forth are concerned, unless God helps us. We cannot do it by ourselves. I just don't believe in this bootstrap religion at all.
It's our self-control and discipline, like I said a while again, is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah.
I don't know if I know the answer, but you can ask.
Thanks. What page is 10? That's 10 Commandments. What page? I've looked through all my whole Bible.
The 10 Commandments?
I believe that's Exodus 23.
I'm looking through my Bible and everything. Can't find it.
Oh, look. Anybody know? Huh? 20? Exodus 20, chapter 20.
Old Testament.
Oh, yeah, in the Old Testament.
That's Old Testament?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Second book. Genesis, Exodus.
So, where do we fit in? And I've got the beauty is that we don't fit in. We just die to ourselves. That's all we have to do. The Spirit will do everything. He does all the work, the calling, the revelation, the changing, the working, the saving. What do we have to do?
Say yes.
Jim Hall. Just yes, Lord. That's it. Die to yourself. If we die to ourselves, that's the key. Or surrender. The beauty is, and I've told, I don't see Vera here today, but she came up and had a great talk, and I've had some good talks with a few people. Whether you've been in the kingdom 5 minutes or 50 years, the requirement is the same. And what I mean by that is, the minute you come into the kingdom and you give your life to the Lord, the Spirit will come in. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will tell you what to do.
Amen.
You don't need to know. Well, I won't go there because I don't have permission to go there. But let's say I just came into the kingdom and I've been in the kingdom 30 minutes. Who knows better that what the things that are in my life that need to be changed? A pastor or an elder or so and so. The Spirit knows what we're going to have to do to get down to business. That's who you answer to when you come into the kingdom, whether it's 10 minutes or 10 years. He will tell you. He knows your maturity. We're all in different maturity levels, but He knows best. And the best part about this is Him doing the working, the calling, the saving, the changing. He knows what to tell you what to do. All you have to do is when He brings that up, do it. I've had people say they came to the Lord and, well, I need to quit this, and this. That may be good, it may not be bad, but if I said, what did the Lord tell you to quit? Well, so-and-so told me I need to quit smoking cigarettes. Maybe he did. Does it mean anything to you if the Lord is not dealing with you on that yet? The Lord will tell you. The Spirit will tell you. Now, it may come. The one thing that the Lord promises is, I will not ask to do more than you're able to do. And every time there's a temptation or whatever, there's a way out. The Lord, if I'm in the kingdom for, I've been born again for one day, let's say, He's probably, and I won't say not, it can't happen, but He's probably not going to tell me to sell my house and go move to Africa and be a missionary at that age, or that in my relationship with Him. But He may say, you know what? You need to start working on that foul mouth. Or whatever it is. That's where you're dealing with the Spirit at. The Word says, where there is no trespass, where there is no law, there is no trespass. The new law or the new covenant that we have with Christ is He's our high priest. The Spirit lives inside us. The Spirit is what leads us and tells us what to do. So until the Spirit tells you to do something, don't knock yourself out over it. Well, I can only give $100 to the church this week. Well, if the Spirit ain't told you to give $100, don't beat yourself up over it. Listen to what the Spirit says.
That one thing, and you told me this ago, and I found it to be true, that one thing that God is telling you to work on, if you're not going to deal with that, you're going to deal with all these other things that you think that God wants you to do, it doesn't matter. I mean, all them other little things that you try to improve or trying to do, until you do the one thing that God told you to work on,
exactly,
all them other little things aren't going to matter.
Paul uses an example of that. He says, do not compare yourself to other brothers. I believe he's meaning that in two different ways. Don't compare yourself with somebody, well, Charlie's a whole lot better than me. He's meaning it that way. And he's also meaning it, well, so-and-so is a whole lot worse than I am. Do not compare yourself. Each of us have a different calling, different things that we need to be, that the Spirit is leading us to do. Listen to the Spirit. He'll tell you what to do. And then, like I said, when Lori was talking about, if there's things in your mind you think to do, or the church says I need to do this, or so-and-so says I need to do this, don't worry about that. Worry about what the Spirit's leading. Worry about making sure you're hearing His voice. That's number one. And I think I've talked to Lori about this several years back. Is first thing we got to do is see if you're hearing His voice. Whether it's coming from disobedience and the Lord's just saying, you know what, until you've dealt with what I've asked you to do, this conversation's kind of over. Or if it's a case of, I don't know Him yet. I haven't surrendered. I haven't given my life yet. There's two reasons why you ain't hearing Him. And you need to find out which one it is. But the joy of everything, of this whole deal, is that He does that. I remember one time, I guess me and Lois had been married a year, 2 years, and I always wanted a Corvette. I mean, I wanted a Corvette. Of course, you know, I got married young. I was 18, so maybe I was 19. I went down to City Chevrolet, and there it was, the one I wanted. You know, and I went and talked to the guy, and I got a good price, I thought, on it. And we went in, you know how they do. They wheel and deal you. And here he's got this 19-year-old kid, and I'm sitting there at the table, got the papers out. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me. And I wish my daddy was here to help me with this decision. Because I thought, you know, I was going to be the big man. I was going to get me a Corvette. But all of a sudden that $20,000, or I don't even remember how much money it was. It's like, man, I wish I had somebody tell me what to do here. Spirit is the same way. If you don't know him, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to read a verse here in a minute that I'm going to explain that to you. But the greatest gift is that voice that does tell you what to do. You don't wander around anymore. What do I do here? What do I do here? Well, should I do this? Should it? The Spirit tells you what to do. He leads you into all truth. This verse last night I read, and it was really good. 1 Corinthians 2. And I she wouldn't have said nothing. I remember at the table, and I remember I had the pen in my hand, and I was shaking. And to this day, I don't know. I got out of there good. I don't know. I don't know what I told that guy. He probably thought I was a nut. I it was such a blur. I don't know if I ran out or what. I don't know what I said.
I'd rather have a Lincoln.
Huh? Yeah, Lincoln. Yeah, I'm in my old age now. I think I'd rather have a Lincoln. But I remember I was so nervous, and I was like, God, man, what do I do? What do I do? I guess God's grace or the fear of Lois, I got out of there. Not that I hadn't done a couple stupid things since then, but that was just one of them that it rang home spiritually. That's where I'm so grateful where the Spirit is, that, you know, that he guides us and leads us. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, and I think we'll wrap it up. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 10 through 16, and I'm going to read it. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. And His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secret. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you this, and this is Paul speaking to the Christians in Corinth. When we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. How could they? For who can know the Lord's thinking? Who can give the Lord counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And basically what he's saying is, I don't know what Judy's thinking. I don't know what God's thinking. I don't know what Judy's thinking unless I have Judy's Spirit in me. That's the only way I'm going to know what she's thinking. I don't know what God wants of me, whether it's good, whether I need to walk this way, walk that way, don't do this or don't do that. I don't know what that is unless God's Spirit inside me. But this is saying, if God's Spirit's inside of us, we will know what to do. We will know where to go, what to do, how to handle a certain situation, whether to remain quiet, whether to, whatever. That's the good news. Somebody say something? Do what? I thought I didn't hear something. I had this dream, and we'll close, about 4 or 5 months ago. I had this dream. I was standing, I'm thinking in Charlotte. I was downtown, standing on this corner. And this guy came up to me. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know where he came from. I didn't know anything about it. He just came up to me,
handed me $1 million.
And I'm just sitting here. I think I may have shared this with Charlie. I'm just standing there, man. You know, just joy, joy, joy. And he walks on, and the guy that gave me $1 million walks on. He's standing down, you know, a little bit down the way. This other guy, I guess, saw what happened, came up to me. And he goes, man, how'd you do that? Why did he give you the Bible? You know, and my first inclination in this dream was, well, I was doing this and I was doing that, and I was thinking about this, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I don't know. I've got no idea. But see, that's the guy right there that gave it to me. Go ask him. Maybe he can give you $1 million. I thought about it the next day, and I think that's how the kingdom works. I can't tell you how God changes a heart. I don't know how that works. I don't know the supernatural, how a God that created the universe is even going to talk to you. That's supernatural. I think that's what the church is left out of. You know, I think we're going to sit here and think that we're going to learn, and through knowledge and through human effort and through discipline, that we're going to find out how this spiritual thing works. I don't know. I can't tell. Judy?
Something that happens with Bruce and I goes along with something. I was raised in a Presbyterian church, so salvation was never enough. But one morning, the ladies from this little independent church came by, and basically, I accepted the Lord. I didn't know anything about it, but they asked me to read something in the Bible, and I couldn't even finish. I read it out, was reading it out loud, and couldn't finish because the tears started to come. And because I learned to. But when they came again, because they had a bus route thing that they would come pick up the kids to take them to church. 1 week later, Bruce told them when they came that he wanted what I had. And I didn't even know what I had. I felt better, I guess. But there was a difference.
No, and like I said, that, and I think that the dream for me was like, it was that same. I think on my first inclination, I was going to try to explain what had happened.
What you had done to deserve it.
Deserve, or here's what I did, you know, and I'm like, when it gets down to the, I don't know, I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything. I didn't, it was a free gift. And that's the way it is with the kingdom. Like I said, the only way that we can have that same thing is we have to have, when I started with, that calling from the Lord, that we've had to have that communication with our Lord individually. Lord, do that. When I got serious with the Lord about 15 years ago, and this is no disrespect to Jim, but I got so frustrated because I've never cheated on my wife. I've never drank or done. I can't get up here and tell you how bad I was, but I can tell you how frustrated I was. And I got down on my knees one night in the bedroom, and I says, Lord, I know you've called me to live a certain way, and I'm not doing it. I want you to show me through your spirit. And I actually used Jim's name. I said, I ain't going to Jim. I'm not going to ask him. I don't want to know. Not that he don't have a lot of knowledge and wisdom, but I don't want to know from him. I don't want to know from Charlie. I don't want to know from. I want you and me to have a relationship to where you should. And I'm going to tell you what. And out of that little simple prayer, the next 6 months, you couldn't keep me out of this thing. What I'm saying, it's not like, okay, we'll read this thing every morning for 4 hours and, you know, and things will start clicking. I started reading this thing for 4 hours, but it wasn't because I had to. It's because, man, there was something inside me that I didn't have anything to do with. I said, man, I got to read this thing. I got to talk to this guy. He's showing me stuff now that, you know, blew my doctrine and blew certain teachings that showed me things about this, which was fine, but it was him doing it. It wasn't me. It wasn't Pastor Jim. In other words, I was hearing for the first time a voice from the Spirit. Not that I probably hadn't heard it before, but I was like, okay, it's time to get serious. It's time for me and you to have this conversation. It's time that I start following the Spirit. That's all the Lord's asked. That's all He's after. If He can get that, the Ten Commandments is nothing. You won't be looking, okay, I'm got to do this. I'm going to do the Ten Commandments. The desire will be in there. I don't care. It's like the analogy that I've used before about falling in love the first time. I don't care what that person wants. You're going to do it. You will do it. That will be a desire for you to do it. That's the love that the Spirit puts in you. That, hey, the Lord want me, Spirit, you tell me to get into the Word a little bit? Hot man, hot dog, this is going to be great. No problem. Are you telling me to forgive so-and-so? I want to do that because I know that's what you want. That's what you're telling me to do. I'm going to do that. Do that simple thing. Start by just that, the desire on your own to have that intimate conversation with the Spirit and watch things change. Whether you're in the kingdom or whether you've not in the kingdom, it operates the same. Surrender your life and say, Lord, as Charlie uses, I don't know if I say that or not, if it hair lifts the Pope, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. Now, we have to come to that realization. Lord, I don't care what it is you've told me to do. I'm going to do it. I will do it. There's a couple verses, Acts 5:32, and there's another one I can't remember, but it says, there is something reciprocal about the Holy Spirit. In other words, 5:32 says, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. I think the way that works is the Lord's going to say, hey, will you do this? And I think the next wave or the next flow of the Spirit's going to be, hey, you mean business? We're going to move on to the next thing. I call it an Abraham moment that I think we all got to have. And I'm using that when Abraham is offering Isaac up, getting ready, his prized possession, the one thing God promised him to do, he was going to sacrifice him. And at the last moment, God stopped him because God said, now I know that you mean business. You're going to be my man. The same thing. We all have to have that moment, whether what it is, and it's all going to be different things in our lives. Mine was music. The Lord wasn't going to go any farther with me until I said, you know what? Get this music thing priority right in your life. Until I was ready to lay that down, who was God? The music, and I was God. God's hands are tied. He's not going to beat you in and drive the Spirit in on you. He's a gentleman. He said, hey, you want this life? I'll give it to you. And it's that thing. Start flowing. Start obeying. Watch things change. Watch things change. Anybody got any questions? You got? I'm open or comments? Anything? Charlie, Jim, Mike. Anybody's up here? If anybody wants to,
I can't stand it.
Come on.
Martha gets on my case sometimes for thinking out loud. But, you know, when people make statements, I mean, you know, it should cause something to happen. You know, you just going to hear something and no reaction. I can't do that. If you tell me something is sour, right away I get a little thing because I've had sour. You know, can you not relate? Well, I do this all the time. See? In Acts 19:2, Paul, he went down to Ephesus And he found some disciples there. Okay, so here we go. Paul's down at Ephesus, and he found some disciples. He didn't make them. He found them. They were already in existence. And he asked them a point blank, right up front question. Have you received the Spirit since you believed? Now, what a riff would that cause today? I mean, just pick a place where there's disciples. Let's call them followers of Christ. Let's call them Christians. Church people? We can call them anything. He just said disciples. That's somebody who has been disciplined by. That's what a disciple is. But Paul's first question, he wants to know, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Now, he didn't ask them how they came about believing. I mean, he could have done all these things, see? I just think, you know, he dispensed with some of this preliminary stuff up front. Get right down to the nitty gritty. I mean, it just separates the light from the darkness real quick. When you turn a flashlight on in a dark room, there's a separation going on. It happens instantaneously. Now, have you never been asked one of these questions before? What this nailed you to the wall? You? I have. I mean, you guys, I know. Some of you got bad memories, but I mean, I am curious as to why the church doesn't ask this question and follow it up with, hey, there's a little story in here in John 2. Yeah, let me tell you. This little story in here they're talking about is John the Baptist. He came to baptize with water. I can just see an Englishman saying that. You know, he's prim and proper. But he says, let's just cut through the smoke and get rid of it. Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now, he never baptized anybody with water, according to Scripture. Not a single one. Not just, well, I think I didn't. He didn't baptize anybody. But he came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. So, you see, I can't just put that aside as being, well, if circumstances work out. You know, if you happen to be down at Ephesus when somebody comes by who recognizes that this is what you need. If you are a disciple, that's who he came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Now, he didn't come to baptize people who want to play. The carny's got places to play. Put a dime on the blue and roll the ball, and where it stops, nobody knows. See, I've been to the carny. Maybe y'all hadn't, but I have. I know how it works. It's all show. You can't take it home with you. But I'm going to tell you what. The baptism, you cannot get away from. I remember where it happened. This guy over here was up front just working his heart out with Bob Jackson. This guy used to come here. He's going to be with the Father. And they were up there praying for Bob. And, oh boy, things was happening. Remember? Up on the little mountain with the little house that was built by the little old preacher who was already old. And I'm sitting back in the middle of this pew, right about, I don't know, good and granny, we didn't have but about 8 pews on each line, and they only hold 4 people per pew. So it was a small place. And they had 20 guys up here praying for Bob Jackson. And I'm sitting back in the pew, and I'm saying to myself, I've been listening to these whispering stuff. These guys has been kind of, you know, they was nice. They was nice to me. They didn't hit me with a hammer. They just let me hear a little tidbit here and there, you know. And they was talking about this baptizing with the Holy Ghost. I didn't have the slightest idea what they was talking about. I thought this was a new game. Because I grew up playing games. And I thought, well, maybe the Holy Rollers do this. You know, they were known in my neighborhood as weird. I'm serious. I knew some. You know, they prayed loud and sang loud and talked loud. Yeah, and all kind of stuff, George. It's unbelievable. But you see, when I was there in that pew, I was by myself. Nobody was there. And I said this in my immature, no knowledge period, brain-powered information that I was working with, I says, Lord, I don't know what in the world these people's talking about. Excuse me. But if it's real, do it to me. Now, I wasn't talking to James. We had 6 elders, 8, I don't know. I wasn't talking to anybody there but me. And nobody heard what I said because I was speaking real light, not into a mic. Just said, hey, this is real. And just like that, here comes this warm. Now, I'm not saying this is the way it has to be. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, I don't want everybody to run down and take a shower. Here comes this warm mist, is the best I know how to describe it, came down on me all the way. I thought I was going to die. I thought, ooh, I have just found the truth in time. I'm going to die right here, and it's all right. I don't care. This is wonderful. See, I didn't know it hadn't happened to anybody else just like that. Maybe it has. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys got it that way. But I'm going to tell you what, and it could have been just because I had to have it. I don't know. I just know what happened. And I know what happened afterwards. Nobody had to encourage me to read 3 chapters a week. I did well for the phone company. They put me on a floor by myself at AT&T. I had the whole floor. It covered a half a block. All equipment. They told me I could do what I wanted to do as long as the equipment stayed working. For 8 months, I stayed up there by myself. The equipment never broke. I said, well, I'm going to read the book and see what's happening. And I read 7 translations in 8 months. I couldn't get enough. Now, it didn't make me anything. I didn't get a title. But I didn't do it, see. I will move you to act and will according to my pleasure. See, now, I don't try to move anybody. I've learned better. Now, I sure get excited when I see them moving. I love it. See, now he gives you a little bit of an ability. I'm going to tell you this up front. Okay, so you no need trying to hide it. You can go in a place and in just a few minutes you can spot somebody who's got it. You can just spot them. Isn't that right, Edom? I went to a little Baptist church in Fort Mill. I went to James D's church on Moorhead first, but Martha wouldn't go. Martha wasn't in yet, and she thought y'all was crazy. You know, I'm telling you, that's what she thought, you know. And it's okay, because I says, that's all right. I know who's the boss around here, and it ain't me. You know, I can do anything. So she willingly was going to go to this little Baptist church in Fort Mill, and I said, all right, I'll go with you, you know. They're not going to skin me over there. I mean, I'll go. So I did. I walked in, come in the back, and I'm just looking around. I thought, oh, boy, this. And I saw this little guy down on the right side sitting with his wife. And I thought, I'm not alone. There is one. And we had never spoken. And we've talked a lot since then, but, you know. I spotted one. Now the Lord let me see that so I wouldn't be so lonely, I guess. I don't know. But it's good. And I'm going to tell you what. He don't mess up. He doesn't mess up. But you see, I can't, if I could do anything to help him, I'd want to take the glory for doing it. I would. Hey. If you think you wouldn't, I got news for you. Yeah, you would. Because he does it all. That's why he does it all. Because to him be the glory. I love it. It's quite a walk. Yeah, it is. And it's getting better. You know, I got you're your cousin, Archie. I got a cousin's getting ready to die. Her cousin. And he says he's made peace with the Lord. I hope so. You know, I don't know. I mean, hey, the Spirit knows. He knows for sure. I don't need to know. See, I learned something the other day. And it's how to address the day that you're in today. And it truly is the best day of my life. Because it could be the last one. And in this life, it wouldn't be bad if this was the last day. Because, boy, what's ahead is so much better. I mean, you know, and for anybody who don't feel that way, you belong to the wrong army. You know, I mean, if you don't want to, you know, be successful in winning a war, you shouldn't be out there fighting. Really. So leaving here is great. So I'm going to enjoy this day, though, because this may be the last one I get. I don't know. If I get two, well, tomorrow will be the best day here.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. The blessing of life, the blessing of your very spirit. Lord, help each of us in our own way to have a conversation with you, Lord, to step things up a notch with you so that we'd hear you better, know you better, enjoy you better, enjoy this life. You said you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. And we take you for your word at it. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.